In the segregated landscape of 1950s America, two young Black women navigate treacherous paths toward their futures. Ruby Pearsall, a brilliant 15-year-old from North Philadelphia, sees education as her escape from poverty. Eleanor Quarles, a Howard University student from modest beginnings in Ohio, falls in love with William Pride, a medical student from Washington's Black elite. Their stories unfold separately until they collide in unexpected ways, revealing how race, class, and gender conspire to limit women's choices. What happens when society forces young women to choose between their dreams and their children? The answer lies in their parallel journeys through a world that judges them by their skin color, their social standing, and their reproductive choices. These women's struggles aren't merely historical curiosities. They echo painfully into our present, asking how far we've truly come in allowing women autonomy over their bodies and futures. Ruby Pearsall pursues the We Rise scholarship to Cheney University despite her mother Inez's resentment. After Inez's boyfriend makes advances toward her, Ruby moves in with stern but protective Aunt Marie. Ruby's life changes when she meets Shimi Shapiro, her aunt's Jewish landlord's son. Their forbidden relationship blossoms through secret meetings at Greenwald's candy store, where Shimi appreciates the balance in Ruby's artwork. Their romance crumbles when Ruby faces racism downtown. Being called a slur exposes their impossible situation. Knowing about racism and experiencing it firsthand are entirely different, Ruby realizes. Meanwhile, Eleanor Quarles works at Howard University's library while pursuing her degree. She falls for William Pride from the wealthy, light-skinned Gold Coast Black Society. At William's home, Eleanor finds herself the darkest-skinned person present besides the servants. His mother, Rose, coldly demonstrates how lineage, complexion, and connections determine worth. Despite Rose's disapproval, they marry when Eleanor becomes pregnant. Multiple miscarriages follow, each loss diminishing Eleanor's self-worth as she thinks he had married a malfunction, revealing her internalization of society's view of a woman's value. Ruby's pregnancy with Shimi's child shatters her plans. Mrs. Shapiro offers a cruel bargain, a college scholarship in exchange for surrendering her baby at the House of Magdalene, a Catholic home for unwed mothers. The gingerbread house embodies institutional cruelty through racial segregation, with Black girls eating separately and using metal chairs while white girls sit on comfortable sofas. Mother Margaret delivers nightly lectures on sin, with a shaming room for those who resist. When Clara changes her mind about giving up her child, she's forcibly removed despite her protests. Ruby questions why girls bore all the weight while Shimi continues his life unaffected. Johnson illustrates how race, class, and gender constrain women's choices. Mrs. Shapiro calls Ruby a whore upon discovering her interracial relationship. Ruby's aunt warns, "You don't pull the seat up to a game that your ass can't win." Eleanor's struggle with colorism reveals privilege hierarchies within marginalized communities. Both women face impossible choices, Ruby between education and motherhood, Eleanor between childlessness and participating in a system that separates mothers from babies. Secrets form the foundation of both women's lives, fundamentally shaping their identities. Ruby hides her pregnancy behind a fictional DC internship, while Eleanor and William orchestrate an elaborate deception with fake pregnancy padding and choreographed social appearances. These secrets aren't merely personal choices, but survival strategies in a society that punishes female sexuality. The psychological toll is devastating. Ruby emerges from the House of Magdalene emotionally distant, telling herself the only way forward is to forget, though memories of grace persist. Eleanor's deception gradually erodes her marriage. Discovering William and Rose's secret meetings with Mother Margaret creates deep fissures between them. "I've been honest with you about everything," she tells William, an ironic claim, as she concealed her first miscarriage. The novel shows that secrets leave lasting imprints. Years later, Ruby, now Dr. Pearsall, meets Eleanor at Howard Hospital and recognizes something familiar in Eleanor's adopted daughter. Their unspoken tension questions whether secrets can truly remain buried and what happens to relationships built on necessary lies. Amid systemic oppression, women create powerful networks of mutual support. These bonds of female solidarity emerge as vital forces of resistance against patriarchal authority, forming webs of care that sustain women through their darkest moments. The House of Magdalene exemplifies these connections. When Bubbles goes into labor, Ruby, Loretta, Georgia May, and Gertrude risk punishment to deliver the child secretly, creating an improvised delivery room with donated blankets and smuggled supplies. Ruby and Loretta's friendship shows how women sustain each other's humanity in dehumanizing circumstances. When Loretta receives devastating news about her son, Ruby paints a sunrise with golden streaks matching Loretta's hair, an act of profound empathy. Eleanor rediscovers solidarity in her mother Lorraine's kitchen. When Eleanor reveals her deepest secrets, Lorraine's unconditional acceptance contrasts with Rose Pride's judgment, helping Eleanor understand her place in a lineage of women with similar struggles. These bonds create spaces where women express their full humanity, a quiet revolution against a world that reduces them to their reproductive capacity. The girls form bonds of solidarity despite their circumstances. When Bubbles goes into labor determined to keep her baby, Ruby and others help deliver the child in secret, demonstrating women supporting each other against institutional control. These stories examine freedom of choice under duress and how privilege shapes women's options. For Ruby, race and class create nearly insurmountable barriers. Her relationship with Shimmy crosses forbidden racial boundaries, with Mrs. Shapiro's reaction revealing the prejudices that make their love impossible in 1950s America. Eleanor's struggle with colorism highlights privilege dynamics within marginalized groups. The Pride family's emphasis on light skin exposes internalized racism, making Eleanor's darker complexion a source of judgment despite her education. Both women's reproductive journeys reveal limited gender autonomy. Ruby's pregnancy threatens her education, while Eleanor's inability to conceive diminishes her value to her husband's family, their bodies becoming battlegrounds between societal expectations and personal desires. The novel shows how these forms of oppression create unique challenges at their intersections for both women. The novel concludes with deliberate ambiguity that mirrors life's complexities. Ruby receives her Howard Scholarship, yet feels emotionally hollow. Eleanor and William reconcile tentatively. Years later, when Ruby and Eleanor cross paths, their brief exchange crackles with unacknowledged recognition, a moment heavy with shared history neither dares voice. Johnson crafts this open-ended conclusion intentionally, rejecting neat resolutions and embracing the messy middle ground where most human experiences reside. The novel suggests healing begins not with forgetting, but with unflinching acknowledgement of truth. Ruby initially follows Mother Margaret's misguided counsel that the only way forward is to forget, yet their chance encounter shows how the past refuses to stay buried. By dedicating her work to women forced to surrender their children due to various circumstances, Johnson transforms private pain into public acknowledgement, creating both testimony and memorial that challenges society's impulse to erase uncomfortable histories.